Do you know you're under the flow of the oil? Do you know that? Do you live there? Do you live there? Because you can live there. This isn't a get a watering can and pour it over your head once. It's a spout that is continually being poured out upon God's people if we're willing participants, if we choose to live there, And I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to explain where this word, how this word developed. It says in 1 John, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. It remains in you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, remain in him." So the encouragement is, stay there. Stay there. Stay in his presence. We spend time before our lessons every week in his presence, because he's the star. It's a reminder that he's the star. He's the attraction. He's why we're here. And he loves it when his people just love to hang out with him. He loves your worship. He craves your worship. I don't even know why he would crave anything. He's Jesus' all-sufficient Savior. But he loves it when his people give him praise. And so remain in him. Remain in him. There's a passage we talked about this in our open door class today. Just a three verse passage that we've taught here. We've taught it in our With One Heart class. And it speaks about this oil, this anointing, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. That is his desire for his people, everybody in this room, and for the church as a whole, the broader church, to live together in unity. And then he explains this. He says, when this happens, it's like oil being poured down on the head. Running down on Aaron's beard. Aaron represents leadership of the day. Down on his beard, down on his collar, on his robe. And then it says this, it's as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life evermore. And so, when we're working together, and the Lord has called us to so many different things, and what I love about what I see when that happens is the Lord is just positioning people to do his work. And when we do it together with one heart, with one purpose, to lift up Jesus' name, humbly bow down, he loves to say, I'm gonna pour out more. I'm going to pour out more because I see you're doing this together. I'm going to do something. I hadn't planned to do this until this morning. I was like, Lord just showed me this. I want, where's Pastor Martin Catt? Pastor Martin Catt. I want Pastor Shane and Emma. I want Pastor Ben and Kelly. And yes, I want Bobby and Bethany. Come on down. Yeah. And I want Connie. Where's Connie? She was actually the first one name I wrote down here because the last will be first, honey. Oh, Beth's in the nursery. Okay. Beth. Yeah, so can somebody go spell Beth in the nursery for a minute? Yeah. I want to wait till she gets in here. But I have... Here, no, that's not her. That's not her. I want to wait for her. I want to wait for Beth. Here she comes. Yes, that was her. That was her singing. That was Beth singing. And I call them down here because this verse, this is our leadership. Amen. This is our pastoral team. And even though we haven't officially named Bobby a pastor yet, it's slipped out of my tongue several times. It's happening at some point soon. But I say it because when his anointing flows, it flows through each one of us. Somebody asked me last night, I had a conversation with somebody last night at the end of the conference. He said, "Where are these lessons coming from? Where are these lessons?" Because they're deep and they're rich and they're empowering and they're relevant to the day. And I said, they're coming from men whose hearts are chasing after Jesus. And when the anointing flows, it 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 flows. And it gets to touch every one of you because you're under the umbrella. You're under the umbrella. You guys can sit back down. But it was such a visual to me of this verse. And so we have an enemy that wants to disrupt that every single time he has an opportunity. And I'll tell you what, we won't stand for it. We will not stand for it. Because we're standing on truth, I'm getting a little ahead of my message here, but toward the end, I was standing here with Pastor JP. Some of you know JP Snyder from used to be the pastor at the Methodist Church around the corner here, and we got to be friends when he had his stint here. But we have all remained friends with him, and his wife Jocelyn shared this amazing testimony of physical healing of her eyes. She shared that yesterday. And I had never heard the whole story, the whole account of what had happened. But when I was standing here, and he said, people were just loving on one another. And he said, one of the things that we have learned from this body is you guys love one another deeply. And it's not a Sunday only thing. It is an everyday thing. And you guys know how to love one another deeply. And you know how to even speak the truth in love deeply sometimes when that's necessary. We speak the truth deeply to one another frequently. Hard things sometimes. And it's not always easy, but we're not going to shy away from doing that because sometimes I need correction. Sometimes somebody needs correction. We'll do that. But one of the things he said that to me, he said, we have tried in every body we have served since we've been in this area. We've tried to learn pass along what we've learned from you guys. They're now part of us. I mean, they're not here. He still pastors a church, but they're part of this body because people have loved on them and cared for them. And he said to me, so coming off of a weekend conference, will you go into tomorrow exhausted or just full of joy? Oh, nothing but full. Nothing but full, nothing but full. You come into experience like this weekend, and what we got to experience with this weekend was amazing. And the reality was, the team did that. I had almost nothing to do with any of it, and I sit back and go, "Oh my goodness, this is what happens when you function under the flow of the oil." There's a never-ending supply, never-ending opportunity of open doors for every one of us to share our story, to share what Jesus has done. And I'm going to tell you where this lesson came from. So the person that shared the word with me, this was maybe 2 weeks ago, she was here at the conference. Jenny, some of you will remember her as Jenny Stallnaker. Jack, her husband, Jack went to home to be with Jesus a number of years ago, and she's now remarried to Matt McCloskey. And so Jenny prays for this body all the time, still very much a part of the life of this body. And she was here Friday and Saturday for the conference, and she had shared this word a couple of weeks ago. And actually, it's three words, and I'm going to break it down a little bit, and then I'm going to pop in a scripture here and there with it, but a lot of it is just details of this word, because it's really, really relevant, because the work that Holy Spirit and God is doing among us is not just for our personal, it's not just for our personal benefit. I mean, we get the personal benefits are incredible, believe me. They're incredible, and many of you have experienced the personal benefits, but it is far-reaching, because the Lord has put a call on this body. We know that. And I'm going to remind us of some of the things the Lord has encouraged us and called us to do and be. So the first reminder she had was so on July 22nd, so just a couple months ago, she was actually reminded of a vision she saw in March of 2023. Now, if anybody remember what we were doing in March of 2023? Anybody? Yes, the train derailment had happened and if those of you that don't know anything about this, a train derailment happened in East Palestine. I think the whole world knows about that. We got to be the assistance center for the railroad company, so people got to come into this building for basically 5 months from February through end of May, beginning of June. And so she wrote about this. She said she had this vision at that time, and she said, "I saw oil rigging moving into the area of abundant life. This rigging drilled deeply, hitting oil. The oil shot out like a geyser. The oil was dark, and this was the time when Norfolk Southern was the rigging that was moving in, and it was the whole experience." And here's what she wrote at that time. This is preparation for the generals for what is to come. And she wrote, "You will steward it well." And she said, "I prophesied at that time that Abundant Life would be a regional hub of revival in the coming days." So when I read that regional hub part, I was reminded. So how many of you remember Damian Williams, Pastor Damian Williams? Some of you remember, we did a Saturday seminar where Damian Williams is a pastor over in Pennsylvania. He came and did a Saturday seminar. I had never met him. Pastor Mark knows him well. And he had come that day and did a Saturday seminar for us. And one of the things that Damian said that day is that you guys have a disciples making disciples ethos in your body, and it's tangible. And that's the Great Commission at its heart, where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples into all the earth." And so what Jesus has done for me, I want to replicate in you if you don't already know him. Love seeing Aaron sitting here today. He oiled his beard today. That's awesome. That's awesome. So she references this hub, and then Damian Williams says he referred to us after that time as an apostolic hub. An apostolic hub, a place where God's work is being done. We don't have a monopoly on it. We recognize that. There's lots of great places out there. We're just part of the equation, but we recognize the call on our life. We recognize the mandate on us being Abundant Life Fellowship. We don't have to be like anybody else. We're not going to be like anybody else. People have tried to pigeonhole us into looking like this or looking like that or being like that or doing things like that. We're just us, and we're unapologetic for it. We're unapologetic for it. We don't have to follow any other mold than the mold. We want to follow the mold of Jesus, and we do it imperfectly. We recognize that. We are imperfect vessels, but we're still works in progress, and we're willing to cooperate, and the way we cooperate is by staying under the flow of his oil. I was thinking as I was working on this lesson that this easily could have been how to live a supernatural life part two. How do you do it? Stay under the flow of the oil. I was thinking of Pastor Ben's message, and I've been saying this repeatedly to many people. I'll look at them and I'll say, "Giants fall. because he spoke about that. How do giants fall? By staying under the flow of the oil. Stay under the flow of the oil. Your own giants will fall when you stay under the flow of the oil. Get outside of the oil. Get outside of that oil. And what's going to happen? Your flesh is going to rise up and want its own way. Your flesh is going to be offended. Your flesh is going to be insulted. Your flesh is going to be, I feel left out, or I feel this, or I feel that. Our feelings will try to take, when you step outside the flow of the oil. Okay, so then on July 22nd, oh, this is the same day she had this also this vision. The Holy Spirit was speaking to me this morning about the fount of his anointing. I was immediately reminded of the oil that I saw in March of 2023. But this time the oil was glistening gold. That morning as I traveled to work, I kept hearing the term splash pad. That's what a splash pad looks like. That's what a geyser looks like. I love that there was a rainbow in the geyser. That's what a splash pad looks like. You get a kid under a splash pad, and that kid's getting drenched. That kid's getting drenched. And here's what she wrote. I kept hearing the term splash pad, and it just kept resonating in me. Later in the day, I looked to see what a splash pad actually was, and I saw it in connection with the geyser, the fount of the glistening oil, and all of this was in connection with abundant life. And she said this, I saw children frolicking, laughing, twirling under the flow of the oil, and these children were of all ages, young and old. Healing was taking place. Youth was being renewed. They were free. The anointing was breaking yokes. And I was thinking about this thought of the children frolicking and dancing and laughing and just having a good time. That's what we get to carry out this mandate, having a lot of fun doing it. With a whole lot of joy. I was thinking of Pastor Ben. I don't know about you, but I love when Pastor Ben is preaching and he will begin sharing a scripture and he'll giggle, or he'll just get so excited before we even know what he's going to say, because he knows what he's going to say, because he has experienced the flow of God's oil on the Word of God in a way that he's going to reveal to us because it was revelatory to him. And he gets so delighted. And he did that several times this weekend, which just was a reminder of just this, like a child frolicking under the oil, in the splash pad of God's presence, under the flow of his oil. And I saw it happening. I saw it happening. And then she says this, if you have weights on your shoulders, well, this is me paraphrasing a little bit of this, don't go into this next season with weights that you've been carrying. And we've been hearing this a lot, these messages that we're hearing over and over again. Throw off that thing. Grasp the identity that Jesus has given you in himself, because he doesn't want you walking around with weights on your shoulders. And so she has this word about let go of the weights. She saw this intense fire. So the Holy Spirit said, the fat will be burned at the altar. The fat is the dross. It contains toxins, impurities that taint the oil. Again, step out from under the flow. Those toxins are going to infect, and they're going to infest, and our enemy still comes to steal, rob, and destroy. And so he doesn't want any of this happening. He doesn't want you to be a part of it. And so if he can pull you out from under the flow of the oil and just remind you of this or that thing that happened that you didn't like or whatever, and then you stew in it, that dross, the toxins, they affect us, and they affect our thinking. They affect our mind. Our mind sometimes can become consumed with it. And again, the word is,
Get rid of the weight. Get rid of the weight. She wrote this, this being a word from the Lord, I will honor the desire for pure oil. I will honor the desire for pure oil. Just stop and think about that for a minute. Lord, am I letting you purify my oil? Am I letting you purify my oil? The weightiness has sometimes been the refiner's fire. The dross has risen to the top and is being skimmed off, removed. Fear is coming out. Get rid of the fear. I had a word spoken to me this morning that if you're sitting in here today and you're afraid to come close to Jesus, let it go. He loves you. He loves you so much, more than you could ever think or imagine. So draw near. Draw near. If you're in this room today and you're afraid of maybe some of what you've, maybe some of this is a brand new experience for some of you to have expressive worship or to have kind of an intensity of his presence. But he's real because he loves us. He pours out his spirit upon us because he loves us and he cares for us. And he says, stay under this. Stay under this. Again, like the kid that didn't smile is now smiling, can't get the smile off his face because he received Jesus and he lifted his burden. He lifted his burden. And then she said this, I saw the oil burning. The oil was highly combustible. And then she goes, had another word that the Lord showed her on August 13th. August 13th, 2025. So some of you are familiar with Nate Johnston. He's a man, a national guy who functions in prophetic and functions in just ministry across the nation. And some of you may be familiar that he suddenly lost his voice for a period of time. And she was reflecting on that. And she said, in my reflection, I felt that the Lord would be downloading a strong word to him during this time. It would be released for such a time as this. I felt strongly that his voice was going to be released with a mighty roar. A mighty roar. And we know that our word for this year is the voice of truth. I'm going to share this in a minute. But the voice of truth, and the subline of that is the roar and the whisper. And when I introduced that at the beginning of the year, I heard both parts of that. And I believe, and anybody that's been paying at all attention this week to the news, you know that a man named Charlie Kirk was martyred, essentially. A man who represents the voice of truth was gunned down, one gunshot to his neck, 31 years old, who spoke to millions of people about Jesus. And he was gunned down and taken out. And when I first heard it, I wrote a little piece about it on my Facebook page this week. That I wasn't a regular follower, but I was familiar with him. And I thought, a voice of truth has been silenced. And Pastor Ben referenced this Friday night. What has happened is that voice that our enemy thought he was silencing, And so I relate that to us in a much smaller scale. I prayed this at prayer meeting yesterday morning, that Charlie Kirk had a very large platform. And it was extremely effective. And he was extremely effective in speaking to those who disagreed with him. He would say, those who disagree with him, come to the front of the line. Come to the front of the line. So any talk you hear, anything you hear in the news or media saying he was a hater is false. It's absolutely false. He would embrace anybody and everybody. And here's the thing. And here's how it connected to us. We're the same people. We don't have the platform. We don't have that kind of platform. We won't have that kind of platform, likely. Who knows? But we have a platform. And we will say, those who disagree with us or hate us, come first. Come first. Come to a meal we're having. We'll serve you first. Because everybody's welcome at this table. Everybody's welcome in this place. But we will speak the truth to you in love under the flow of the oil. If I do it outside the flow of the oil, it will just be my opinion. Now, my opinion's always right. No, kidding. 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 I know, yeah. Margaret just asked what happened to the voice of truth. There's a good one. There's a good one. I accept that rebuke. That's a good one. So here's a little more about what Jenny said. The Holy Spirit spoke further about this roar. There's going to be a sound released that will be new to man's ears. And I believe that's already happening. That is already happening. It's already going on. I mean, I don't think I ever in my entire 66 years of living and my many, many years of working in the media have seen more media interviews with people talking about Jesus because of Charlie Kirk. Where the gospel is being shared because one man was taken out and more people are saying, he spoke truth. He spoke truth. The voice of truth. It's amazing to me once again that in a year when the Lord gives us a word called the voice of truth, that we're seeing it all over the place. We're seeing it all over the place. The roar is coming from a deep place in the spirit. It is no little sound. This is my roar. My roar is being released. Tables are being overturned. Complacency and apathy are being shattered. And then this question is asked, and I don't think it's not Jenny asking, I believe it's part of the word from the Holy Spirit saying, who will be carriers of my voice, of my roar? Because this roar is going to cleanse the atmosphere. We are part of that. You are part of that. You are part of this work. At the street fair, a week ago now, somebody came up to the table and said, what are we going to do about that witch walk in Columbiana? Why not? Walk with them. And I said, I have no idea. I have no idea, but I know simply going out and protesting is not the answer. Pray. Pray, 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 and then pray some more. And then don't be afraid to walk with them. Not like I'm accepting this as my lifestyle, but hey, what's your story? What's your story? Got it. I see a hand up back there. I'm not sure. Oh, she was going to tell her story, I think. That's awesome. A little girl. The reality is there's dark things all around us. And we have to listen. We have to listen under the flow of the oil, what Holy Spirit says to do about anything and everything, and not just react. And not just react. Because we can tend to sometimes just be a reactive people rather than hearing what the Father's saying and seeing what the Father's doing and then saying that and doing that. And he's saying, stay under the flow of my oil and you'll say what I want you to say and you'll do what I want you to do. And again, I'm not suggesting we'll ever do any of that perfectly. We will not. There's always seems to be learning curves. I wish that we became this perfect body that just said yes and did everything exactly the way we're supposed to. But, you know, we're still living these fleshly bodies, and we're gonna function that way sometimes. Where was I? Yeah, the witch walk. So last night when JP was praying, he said, can I pray for you for tomorrow? You know, again, wondering whether I would be exhausted or joyful, and I was joyful. But he prayed, and he had no idea, you know, what was in my notes, but he said, I'm praying that it will just be like a fountain just spilling out. And I'm going, did you read my notes? Because I got a geyser in here. I got a splash pad in here. I think about these words over us. Jenny closes her thing saying, it's time to push. And if you haven't noticed, if some of you haven't turned around, there's a new baby here, Canaan Ricketts. And I was thinking about this because when Jenny says it's time to push, Logan understands probably a little bit about that. The baby is crowning, it's time to push. It's time for warrior worship. Boots on the ground, warrior worship. Abundant life, and this is where it gets just really specific for us, and I've already referenced it, but abundant life, you are going to release the sound in your region. You are that regional hub, and the sound will resonate. And the reality is, all of that is already happening. We're already in some of this. And the mandate is for us to press into it even more, and every one of you is a part of it. When I look around and see so many things happening among us, I won't identify, there's a couple of young guys in here, that the Lord is doing such a deep, deep work in, and I was reminded of, when Josh Graham and his family moved back to the area, and I don't see Josh here today, but but Kyle and the kids are here. Josh was part of this. He's the grandson of our founding pastor, Don and Pauline, and he just moved back from Florida this summer. And Josh, as he was coming in, I think it was the second week he was here, he had a word for two of our young men, for Isaac and Bo, and they're both here today. And he had this word for both of them, and he said, this is new to me. I don't give words to people. I don't function that way. But yet it was very strong that he would share this word. He didn't call it out, you know, publicly. He just went to them. And I happened to be back there when it was happening. And I went over and I was like, oh, what's going on here? And it was really cool. He was speaking this word over Bo and Isaac. And if you notice, most Sunday mornings, you know, Bo was standing about right here today. And Isaac's usually right here, but he was back there with his baby this morning. And he said, your worship is going to influence many. These are just guys, you know. They're just every guy, they can relate to about anybody. And so what I have observed over the last, since that word was spoken, these other two young men that didn't know each other before they were here. They met each other here and have become friends. But so one was over here this morning, and another one was standing over here. And I don't know that either one of them would say, I came down here because I saw Isaac and Bo. They probably wouldn't. But I'm telling you, when one takes a step for Jesus, a bold step for Jesus, says, I am not apologetic about my walk with Jesus. I'm going to worship him freely. It gives people freedom to say, and both of these young guys will say, this is new to me. This is new to me. And it's part of the work we get to be part of to say, yes, come a little closer. Come a little closer. Be vulnerable. It's one of the reasons, you know, this whole idea of the anointing oil flowing, and getting in under that umbrella, it's one of the reasons over and over again I encourage people, come to men's prayer. You may not utter a word. You may say nothing. It may not be some big emotional experience every time, but when you're stepping into something that has the anointing and the flow of God, of the oil flow of God's anointing on it, and you step into it, that spills into you. And you walk out with some of that on you, whether you know it or not. You may not even know what you experienced, but there's something about it. That's why I encourage people all the time, come. You don't have to pray out loud. You don't have to say anything. But just being, it's like just being in the atmosphere. I remember, again, years ago, we talked about that spout. I remember people saying, get in under the umbrella and droplets, at least droplets, will fall on you. So if you have a struggle that you're dealing with, a struggle in your family or some battle that you're facing, you don't have to come and spill the beans about any of it. You can. We've had that happen where, you know, people are confessing this and that and getting healing, but some come in and don't ever say a word, but yet they keep coming back because they leave with some deposit that is made within. They may not even be able to identify, but they know something good happened. So I encourage that. I encourage, come to these things. Well, there's a women's worship night tonight in Columbiana, at the theater in Columbiana. It's, I was talking to Samantha yesterday. She's like, this has just blown my mind. My daughter was writing about it. This is blowing their minds. I think the last count was 340. 340. Right in the community. Right in the community. And see, we know that part of the mandate on abundant life is to take our work outside of here. That's always been the case, but the opportunities for that are increasing and increasing and increasing. So this picture I have up there is Kim Blakeney had shared this with me months ago. I think it was in May. I was speaking. I was speaking about the question I'd asked of the Lord years ago about we thought we were going to plant a vineyard in Columbiana County, a Vineyard Christian Fellowship Church in Columbiana County, and we ended up here. And I remember years later saying, Lord, where's the vineyard? And He said, you're in it. It's just not called Vineyard, but you're in it. You're in the vineyard. I shared that one morning in May, and Kim that week had this visual, and I believe she shared it. I don't think anybody ever saw the picture, but this was the essence of the picture. The circle was Abundant Life, and I think it has me. I was the pastor, and then the reach. There were rows of extensions. Of ways we were reaching, we were called to reach into these new arenas and more arenas, and the circle was just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the reality is, the circle of our reach continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger because you're a part of it and you have influence where you live, where you work, where you roll and reign. And so Kim was going through the food line yesterday, and we were talking. I told her, I said, your little picture is going to be in my message tomorrow. And she said, I was actually thinking about that this week. And we were talking a little bit about Pastor JP and Pastor JP and Jocelyn being here and just the connection that just keeps growing with them. And the thing that she said was the part of the row, the rows, and the growth and the expansion of this is that we're going to, and again, it's already happening, is be ministering to other pastors, to other pastors. And so at this conference this weekend, there were five pastors, not from here, that were here. From various places. Various places. JP was one of them. Pastor Dave Goodwin was another one. Several others that were here being a part of this. And I was thinking about that. Must have been a week ago. I was sitting up in the lobby doing some work on my computer. I think my battery was dying, and so I needed to come and plug it in up here. And battery on my phone. And so I was on the computer, and Pastor Mark comes walking in, and pretty soon Pastor Damian Williams comes walking in. And then there was another pastor, James Birkebile, I believe is his name, comes walking in. And the reality is, as we're functioning under the flow of the oil, we don't ever orchestrate any of this stuff. Holy Spirit just connects us with these people for the furtherance of his kingdom. For the furtherance of his kingdom. Yeah, it is a thank you, Lord. When this Emmaus conference came up, you know, the Lord's spoken to us for years. You're going to be having conferences. And it started, I don't know how many years ago we started the Belonging Conference, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. The women had the Belonging Conference, and we've had three so far, or this is the third one this year? Fourth. This is the fourth one this year. So then, you know, then Sherry had the vision for the Emmaus Conference, and you sometimes look, you know, where do we fit it all in? You just do. Because if the Lord says to do it, he makes provision for all of it. He provides everything you need for it. He provides all the people you need for it. And then he does what he does. The whole message of this one was that if you're still living, if you're still living with an orphan spirit where you don't fit, the message from Jesus is that you do. That you do. It's interesting. One of the things Pastor Ben said Friday night was we're going to be having these experiences from time to time, and you're going to ask yourself right in the middle of the experience, is that real? And like an hour later, we're praying for somebody, and I'm thinking, is this real? Is this real? This is real brokenness going on right here in front of me. Are you living under the flow of his oil? If the answer is yes, then the follow-up question is, do you step outside of it from time to time so that the flesh can roll and reign for a little bit? Because it feels good, or if the answer to that is yes, it's not a condemnation. It's a, hey, we have an answer to that, and his name is Jesus. And we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you that in and out tendencies we sometimes have would cease, because we get to stay there. I think this is the most exciting time for the body of Christ ever. And I believe the mission field, the harvest is so ripe. That's what part of this says right here. I can't read the words. And after seeing this vision, I heard the harvest is ready. The harvest is ready. If you think you're supposed to share Jesus with somebody, if the thought comes to you as you're walking down the street or you're sitting in your neighborhood or you're at the grocery store or wherever you are and you have this thought, I need to share Jesus with, do it. The harvest is ready. Lord didn't give us a word, the voice of truth, for us to sit on the truth, but to open our mouths and share and speak it. Speak it in love. Love ridiculously. Don't worry if you think someone's going to take advantage of you. It's what we signed up for when we said yes to Jesus. I give my life away. I give my life away. It's what we do. It's what we get to do. Not for any attention for ourselves. All for attention for Jesus. All for attention for Jesus. All this is for you, Jesus, we sing. Just checking one more time, make sure I did everything I was supposed to do. One of the things Josh had said, and has said repeatedly since they moved back here, and Josh grew up here. This can become a place you're so familiar with that you kind of forget what this represents. And I think that's been part of his reminders as he's been back here, and he said this repeatedly. There is a freedom here. There's a freedom here. And he was talking about, so the week that Pastor Ben spoke about when giants fall, Josh was leading worship, which was an awesome thing. You know, Josh used to lead worship here, and just having him back up there and Keith Zeitler on the drums was amazing. But one of the things that as he was putting together his set list of songs, there was a song on there, and I'd never heard the song before, but there was a line in the song that said, "We carry around our enemy's head." And he thought, that's a little gruesome. That's a little gruesome. But if I could sing that anywhere, it'd be here. And he did, having no idea. The Pastor Ben's message was, when giants fall, when David cut off the head of Goliath and then carried it around. And you see, and I didn't know any of this till after the fact, you know, we're singing that song, and it caught my attention. It caught my attention when we carry around the head of our enemy. That is kind of gruesome. But it's true. In love. Well, he's dead. But it was such another reminder to me of his word that there's a freedom here to be who we are unapologetically. Not arrogantly, not with any sense of arrogance. We're stayed bowed down. But a freedom to be who we're called to be. To sing what we're supposed to sing. To speak what we're supposed to speak. To do what we're supposed to do. So where are you in this? Ask yourself that question. Where are you in this? What are you doing with the oil that's been poured out? We sang about it. Lavishing it on Jesus. He loves that. If you don't know what else to do with it, lavish it on Jesus. He, He will accept that sacrifice. He will love that sacrifice. Let's stand. So when we were at the street fair, so we've been doing the street fair for quite a few years now. I don't know how many. But almost every year, our booth is usually set up right next to a jewelry station with a lady and her husband. And you know, we always have some random conversations. This year, they were not right next to us. We ended up being one down because a lady set up in the wrong spot. And we ended up being one down. But anyway, so this the husband, who hardly ever says anything, but we've gotten to know each other, and he somewhat, just peripherally, I suppose, he came to my booth, and he was rolling this cart that had this very heavy piece of furniture on it. And he stops right in front of me. Can you give me a hand? it was like, oh, well, of course I can give you a hand. And for whatever reason, that struck me. We haven't talked that much in all these years, but we've observed one another. And he knows we have a big banner that says Abundant Life Fellowship. He knows we're a church. And he sees all these people coming to the booth and all these people hugging one another and loving one another. And so he somehow knew that if he asked for help, that I would help him. And it was heavy. This thing was heavy. I don't know if he knew how old I was. But I remember reaching down and like, oh. This guy had confidence that I was able to pick this thing up. And I'm not sure I'm going to make it. But it was such a simple thing to me that this guy, in just years of hanging out a little bit at the street fair together, had confidence to be able to say, can I ask you for help? And then his wife came over the very last day as we're tearing down and we had notebooks. And she took a notebook and she pulls me into a hug with tears coming down her face. And she said, my grandpa gets one of these every year. And he can't come this year. So I'm taking one for him. And I thought, simple stuff of just being positioned out of the community to love and care for people. It's part of our mandate, but it only works when we stay under the flow of the oil. If you need prayer, if you've got a struggle going on, doesn't matter what the struggle is, if it's emotional, if it's mental, if it's spiritual, if it's physical, we got people here who'll pray with you. You can come and kneel. If you've never received Jesus and you want to today, that would be awesome. It'll change your life. It'll be the best decision you'll ever make. But as Pastor Ben said last night, he chose you first. If the tug is on your heart to say yes, he chose you first. He's already got the plan in mind. All you have to do is say yes. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. Thank you so much for the flow of your oil on your people. We say, Lord, pour it out and we'll drink it in. And then we'll pour it out. We'll spill it out. We'll spill it out wherever we go. And then you'll fill us back up and we'll spill it out again. And you'll fill us back up and we'll spill it out again. Use us till you've used us up, Lord. We want to be used until we breathe our last breath. Lord, we thank you for the enlargement of the roar on your people. to be a voice of truth in this arena, in this decade, in this culture, in this region, because you have called us to be a regional hub for the gospel. You've called us as a place for people to come to receive healing in all forms, to receive deliverance, to receive salvation, and to not just do it in the confines of this building, but wherever we are at any given time of any given day. So I pray that your people will know today that they are equipped. They are equipped. They are equipped only by the power of your presence and the truth of your word. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. If you need prayer, there's people.